Good morning, and welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. We're glad you tuned in today. Trinity Lutheran is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado. Pastor Jason Cody and the congregation at Trinity Lutheran welcome you to join them every Sunday, in person or right here on KSPK. And now, let's take you live to this morning's worship service with Pastor Jason Cody.
Good morning. The Lord's blessings to everyone this morning. Thanks for being here. We're always blessed to be together on in church, and on this fifth Sunday after the Epiphany, we have a special service for you. We'll sing our hymn of invocation this morning, and then we'll go through our confession, absolution, and then we'll celebrate the rite of holy baptism with the Osborne family. Blessed to be together. Also this morning, we'll be saying a goodbye for now to Kevin and Pam Rice, as they're here with us on their last Sunday before they move. But as we assured one another this morning, we'll see them again for sure. If you're joining us on the radio this morning, we thank you for tuning in to our service and being a part of our worship that way. If you're here in the sanctuary, we invite you to turn over to hymn 940 in your hymnal. That hymn is Holy God, We Praise Thy Name. And we do invite you on the last verse of that hymn to please stand if you're able. Let's sing together. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner.
Almighty God, have mercy upon us. Forgive us our sins and lead us to everlasting life. Amen.
Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism you declared us to be your children and gathered us into your one holy church, in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enliven our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Would the baptism family come forward at this time? Excited to celebrate the sacrament with you and here at Trinity to have the girls be baptized. And so we continue with our baptismal rite. We're on page 268. If you'd like to follow along in your hymnal, you're welcome to do that. Dearly beloved, Christ our Lord says in the last chapter of Matthew, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In the last chapter of Mark, our Lord promises, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. And the Apostle Peter has written, baptism now saves you. The Word of God also teaches that we are all conceived and born sinful and under the power of the devil until Christ claims us as his own. We would be lost forever unless delivered from sin, death, and everlasting condemnation. But the Father of all mercy and grace has sent his Son, Jesus Christ, who atoned for the sin of the whole world, and whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. How are the girls to be named in the baptism?
Danica.
And your middle name?
Christine.
And your last name?
Oscar.
How about you, Aaron?
Aaron.
Colleen.
Osmond.
Osmond. Wonderful. Praise the Lord. Okay, are you ready? I'm just going to make a cross on your forehead, okay? Aaron, Colleen, Osborne, receive the sign of the cross, both upon your forehead and upon your heart, to mark you as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. Danica, Christine, Osborne, receive the sign of the cross, both upon your forehead and upon your heart, to mark you as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, according to your strict judgment, you condemned the unbelieving world through the flood. Yet according to your great mercy, you preserved Noah and his family, eight souls in all. You drowned hard-hearted Pharaoh and all his hosts in the Red Sea, yet led your people Israel through the water on dry ground, foreshadowing this washing of your holy baptism. Through the baptism in the Jordan of your beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, you sanctified and instituted all waters to be a blessed flood and a lavish washing away of sin. We pray that you would behold Danica and Aaron according to your boundless mercy and bless them with true faith by the Holy Spirit, that through this saving flood all sin in them which has been inherited from Adam and which they themselves have committed since would be drowned and die. Grant that they be kept safe and secure in the ark of the Christian church, being separated from the multitude of unbelievers and serving your name at all times with a fervent spirit and a joyful hope, so that with all believers in your promise, they would be declared worthy of eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And to the sponsors, from ancient times, the church has observed the custom of appointing sponsors for baptismal candidates and catechumens. And the Evangelical Lutheran Church sponsors are to confess the faith expressed in the Apostles' Creed and taught in the Small Catechism. They are, whenever possible, to witness the baptism of those they sponsor. They are to pray for them, support them in their ongoing instruction and nurture in the Christian faith, and encourage them toward the faithful reception of the Lord's Supper. They are at all times to be examples to them of a holy life and a faith in Christ and love for the neighbor. Is it your intention to serve Danica and Aaron as sponsors in the Christian faith? If so, say yes with the help of God.
Yes, with the help of God.
God enable you both to will and to do this faithful and loving work, and with his grace fulfill what we are unable to do. Amen. Here's the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. They brought young children to Jesus that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." And he took them up in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We pray together the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord preserve your coming in and your going out from this day forth and forevermore. Amen. Okay, are you ready for the questions? Here we go. Danica and Aaron, do you renounce the devil? If so, say yes, I renounce him.
Yes, I renounce.
Do you renounce all his works? If so, say yes, I renounce them.
Yes, I renounce them.
Do you renounce all his ways? If so, say yes, I renounce them. Do you believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth? If so, say, yes, I believe.
Yes, I believe.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried? He descended into hell on the third day, rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. If so, say, yes, I believe.
Yes, I believe.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and everlasting life? If so, say, yes, I believe.
Yes, I believe.
All right, Aaron, do you desire to be baptized? If so, say, yes, I do. Danica, do you desire to be baptized? If so, say, yes, I do.
Yes, I do.
Alrighty. Let's do that. Who would you like to go first? Mom, Dad? Aaron? Thanks. I like the golden shell, too. It's beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, here's your towel. So you hold on to this, okay? In case some water gets in your eyes, then you can just catch it. Okay, lean forward here over the bowl. Aaron, Colleen, Osborne, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, buried with him in baptism and raised with him to new life in Christ. Amen. Good job. There you go. You get to keep that. You can dry your hand with it if you want to. There you go. Okay, carefully step down, okay? And just jump perfect. Here you go, sweetie. Aaron. Yeah. Okay, so that's your towel, okay? case it gets in your eyes. So all you got to do is lean over here real good. Ready? Danica Christine Osborne, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, buried with him in baptism and raised with him to new life in Christ. Amen. Hey, you're done. Good job. Great work. All right, ladies, did you get your towels? Okay, come over here, would you, Danica? Come over here. Okay. The Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of water and the Spirit and has forgiven all your sins, strengthen you with his grace to life everlasting. Amen. Amen. We're ready for these. Usually when we say amen, you can go sit down, right? Yeah. That makes sense. We have something else for you, though. Look what Sherman's doing. Receive this burning light to show that you have received Christ, who is the light of the world. Live always in the light of Christ. Be ever watchful for his coming, that you may meet him with joy and enter with him into the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which shall have no end. Now we're going to welcome you guys. Are you ready? In holy baptism, God the Father has made you both members of his Son, our Lord Jesus, and heirs with us of the treasures of heaven in the one holy Christian and apostolic church. We receive you in Jesus' name as our brothers and as our sisters in Christ, that together we might hear his word, receive his gifts, and proclaim the praises of him who called us out of the darkness and into his marvelous light. We say together,
Amen.
Amen. We welcome you in the name of the Lord. Let's pray. Might watch the wax on the candles. Almighty and most merciful God and Father, we thank and praise you that you have graciously preserved and enlarged your family and have granted Danica and Aaron the new birth and holy baptism and made them members of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and heirs of your heavenly kingdom. We humbly implore you that they, having now your children, you would keep them in their baptismal grace, and according to your good pleasure, they may faithfully grow to lead a godly life to the praise and honor of your holy name, and finally, with all your saints, obtain the promised inheritance in heaven. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. Peace be with you. Amen. You can return to your seats. Congratulations. Praise the Lord. We continue on page 3 in our bulletin with our Kyrie as we sing together this morning. The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Let us pray. O Lord, keep your family, the church, continually in the true faith, that relying on the hope of your heavenly grace, we may ever be defended by your mighty power. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Old Testament reading for today, the fifth Sunday after the Epiphany, comes from the prophecy of Isaiah in the 6th chapter, a beautiful reading for a day when we get to celebrate baptism, as the prophet Isaiah reminds us of the Trinitarian reality of our God as he calls upon him, holy, holy, holy. We begin in verse 1 of chapter 6. In the year that Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had 6 wings. With 2 he covered his face, and with 2 he covered his feet, and with 2 he flew. And one called to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Then I said, here I am. Send me. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our epistle lesson comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Since you are eager for manifestations of the Spirit, strive to excel in building up the church. Therefore, one who speaks in a tongue should pray for the power to interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. What am I to do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will pray with my mind also. I will sing praise with my spirit, but I will sing with my mind also. Otherwise, if you give thanks with your spirit, how can anyone in the position of an outsider say amen to your thanksgiving when he does not know what you are saying? For you may be giving thanks well enough, but the other person is not being built up. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. Nevertheless, in church, I would rather speak 5 words with my mind in order to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. Brothers, do not be children in your thinking. Be infants in evil, but in your thinking be mature. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We invite the congregation to stand now for our holy gospel and the Alleluia verse. Gospel according to St. Luke, the 5th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on Jesus to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw 2 boats by the land, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered, Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word I will let down the nets. And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken, and so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching men. And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Would you join us now in confessing our faith to the words of the Nicene Creed? I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated. Our hymn of the day today is hymn 398, Hail to the Lord's Anointed. Let's sing.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. I'd like to begin with a prayer this morning, if you'd bow with me. Gracious Lord, you have preserved for us this holy and precious text from the Gospel of your servant, St. Luke. Lord, help us to honor this account, and in full reverence, help us to see how precious it is, for it is your very word, God breathed. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight this morning. Amen. Amen. Have you ever been really, really, really tired? Maybe you came in church that way this morning, been a long week. Really tired, just as we say, wiped out, just done. And someone comes up to you and they ask you to do something else. To do something. It's challenging what goes on interpersonally in those moments at a request like that. It's challenging for us to keep our tongues from saying something in those moments that we might regret. Especially if the request seems senseless or selfish. I gotta wonder if Peter, in our gospel lesson, felt that way when Jesus told him in verse 3 to put the boat out a little way from the land. I gotta wonder. After all, it's Peter, James, and John, all fishermen. But they've been fishing and working all night. All night long. You ever stayed up all night? I bet you have. You know how you feel the next morning? It's not good. You're tired. You're done. You're spent. They've been fishing all night. And to top it off, a completely unproductive night of fishing. These guys are wiped out. Now they're mending their nets, which is routine. They're washing their nets, which is routine for them. Why? So they can be finished. And here comes Jesus about that time to tell Peter to do something else. Peter had to hold his tongue. I don't know. But Peter does it. I mean, from verse 3, we gather that Jesus is already in the boat. So Peter launches it out. Jesus sits down and he starts teaching from the boat to the great crowd that had gathered there. We don't know what he said to those crowds. We don't have the account of that. It would be cool if we did. But we know what happens next. He tells Peter to do something else. This one gets a reaction from Peter. First one he just did. But the second request gets a reaction. See, Peter's not really a guy who's known for holding his tongue in the gospel accounts. Usually he's flapping it, often getting himself in trouble with what he says. Jesus basically asked Peter, after he's finished washing all his nets and mending all his nets, after an entire frustrating night of hard work, he says, get those nets dirty and torn again. Cast them back out. Put out into the deep, he says, and let down your nets for a catch. There's got to be so many feelings in the background of this text. First off, Peter fancies himself a professional fisherman. Jesus' request could have easily been met with an emotive response inside of Peter. What do you mean? Put them back out. That's what Peter says, right? Master, we fished all night and caught nothing. That's a nice way to tell somebody, I don't like your idea. That's what it is. I don't like your idea. And if you look at the text right there, we get exclamatory punctuation. Master, we toiled all night and caught nothing. I don't like your idea. It's a close one for Peter. But we could tell Peter this morning just for fun in that verse, hey, nice save, bud. Nice save. Because right in the middle of his speech to Jesus about how they'd fished all night and caught nothing, Peter catches himself, remembers who Jesus is, the miracles he'd seen Jesus doing in Capernaum already. So he finishes that little speech with corrected and humble words. He says, but at your word, I will let down the nets. He's a lot like us right there, right? When we're tired and ready to be done with whatever it is and someone asks something else of us, especially something that feels senseless, hopefully we can catch our tongues in those moments too. But we got to wonder from the account, how reluctantly did Peter put those nets down again that morning? But we know what happens. There's a great catch, probably the biggest catch of these guys' entire lives that takes place. What's the point of all of this happening? There's a bunch of points, but I want to focus on one for the sake of time this morning. This simple phrase, are you ready? Maybe you saw it on the marquee before you walked in the church. This simple phrase, no Jesus, no catch. It's true for us as well in our lives. But probably not the way we think initially when we hear it, because we would often compare this to our lives in the wrong way. And we'd say, oh, well, no Jesus, no catch. What you mean is once I have Jesus, everything's going to work out okay for me in my life. No. No, that's not what Jesus does with it. What does Jesus do in this story with this catch of fish? Jesus relates it, this divine catch, not to success in life, not to people being wealthy or having what they want. He says this to Peter, do not fear. Do not fear. From now on, you'll be catching men. That's what he says. He relates this reality, this narrative to the church and the ministry. That's what he does with it. And that's where it's true for us. Within the life of the church, no Jesus, no catch. It's very instructive for us as believers to see this. You know that many of our dear and beloved Christian brothers and sisters around our great country and around our great world have taken down the crosses at their churches. See it as an offensive symbol. They don't observe the sacraments hardly at all, even though Jesus tells us to. And many preach every week just the how-tos of the Christian faith. Here's how to live. Here's what you should be doing. And on and on and on. Rarely, if ever, mentioning the biggest thing, the forgiveness of sins. Sad to only speak of the rules and not the gospel. Because the law or the rules can only build up self-righteousness in a person, have them thinking, oh yeah, well, you know, I do okay with those. I try. Our try is not what counts. If we broke one part of the law, we've broken the entire thing. Or they fall into despair when they hear those rules for life. They say, you know what, rubbish to this. I can't live like these people anyways, and away they go. And the end is worse than the beginning. No Jesus, no catch. Nothing in the nets. There's all kinds of stuff that we as a church can get caught up in. The world's constantly tempting us with all the popular social things and the things that they say we should get involved in. Bigger buildings, numbers, fancy programs that we should do. Believers get caught up all the time in their church being popular or not offending anybody. People come to church for all sorts of reasons, but what should church be about? Jesus. And only Jesus. That's what it's about. No Jesus, no catch. And that's the very great blessing that we have, and the very, very great responsibility we have here, is to make sure that on every level and in every possible way, that our church is about Jesus. Today we have an essential reminder from the Lord. See, we can work and work and work. That's what Peter and James and John did. They worked and worked and worked and worked. You know what they came up? Squat. But you know what happened when Jesus showed up? The greatest catch of their lives. We can try to make church feel more modern, more comfortable, all the while thinking that we'll net some more lost souls by our effort. We might get more people to come, but what do we have to trade for that? Some have given up the creeds that we just recited. They say, oh, it's boring and rote, and people just say the words and they don't know what they're saying. That's their fault. The church brings these things to us, to me too, to guide our minds in a direction that's God-pleasing, to teach us why we believe what we believe and what we believe, actually. It's beautiful to memorize those creeds. It gives us the ability to answer if somebody asks us about the hope that's within us. Those are great things. They get rid of them. They throw them out. They're not cool enough, I guess. Get rid of the creeds. Get rid of the celebration of the Lord's Supper and the sacrament. Just don't bother to do it. What is it costing? Getting rid of another one, let me tell you. Absolution. The idea that God is going to say to you and me through a real person at a real time in a real address with a real voice that you're forgiven. They're getting rid of that nowadays too. So sad. And here's the thing, Jesus isn't well liked by unbelievers out in the world. So I don't understand why we would want to change things that bring us literally Christ himself and his word and get those out of the way so that people will come. What? That doesn't even make sense. Notice Peter's reaction in our text this morning to Jesus after this great catch of fish. Peter falls down on his knees. And what does he tell Jesus? He says, it's a strange saying of his. He says, depart from me, for I am a sinner. I'm a sinful man. Depart from me, for I am a sinful man. He tells him to go away. But isn't that how every sinner responds to Jesus? They push him away when they feel their guilt. As we see churches all over the place caving to social pressures, and that's not all that's going on. They're actually pushing those things of the word that carry Jesus to the people. They're pushing them away. Even in his own church, they push him out. Do you know why our church isn't completely packed, standing room only this morning? He's not a popular guy in the world, Jesus. Sin always despises holiness. And every person has sin, and every person has guilt. And our natural reaction without faith and the Holy Spirit helping us is when we see our guilt and our shame, we tell Jesus to take a hike. That's what we do. Tell Jesus to go away. The goal becomes to avoid him, to not show up. Have you ever noticed that within yourself as a person, that evil tendency? It's in all of us. Sin's in all of us. Wake up on Sunday morning, but you know, Jesus just isn't really that appealing today. And why? Well, because we carry guilt and shame around. And what happens after you do hear about him? I pray it's the same thing that happens to me. When we hear that he took our guilt on the cross, and our sin is no longer ours to bear, but he took it on himself. And then we're glad to be in his presence. It can enlighten us greatly as Christians, as believers. Why? Because what happens to you when you feel guilty for sin? What happens to you when you feel shame? I'm guessing, knowing most of you very well, that you run to Jesus. That you go to church. You're here this morning. That we run to him. We don't tell him to leave. Look at what God has done in your heart. Beautiful things. Bringing you right back to the foot of the cross when you feel that contrition. Bringing me there, repenting and saying we're sorry. We end up running to Jesus. We don't tell him to go away. Did you come running to church this morning because Jesus was here? And you knew his forgiveness was real? And you knew you'd hear it? Check this out, I'm almost done. Peter, same guy. At the end of the Gospels, the end of John's Gospel, after the resurrection, Peter goes fishing again, doesn't he? But what does Peter do this time? When he catches Jesus out of the corner of his eye standing over on the shore, does he say, "Depart from me"? No, he tears off his outer garment and he jumps into the water and he swims as fast as he can and he runs to Christ. Look at what God did in Peter throughout this time. And we feel and see those same things within ourselves. We don't say, "Depart from me." We say, "I'm coming." I pray that for you and me. I pray that we can see what God did for Peter and what he's doing for us and what he's done. And I pray that we continue as a church right here together to do everything that we can do, every conversation here at church and throughout our daily lives at home or in our workplace, every decision that we make here or there, every expense, every income, every class, every meal, every moment is all about Jesus. And that we do this even though we're tired and even though we think we should be done by now, we keep doing it. And at his word, we will go and cast our nets again here at Trinity. And we'll share this great faith in Jesus crucified and risen and this great forgiveness. And we'll do it in ways that bring and deliver his gifts to us. And we'll catch many souls in the nets of his grace and salvation. It's ours to do. He tells us to do it. Even though we're worn out from life, he comes again and he stands literally in our boat this morning. According to his own promise. And he says, "Go cast those nets out into the deep again. Go do it. Go and baptize and teach. Repentance and forgiveness of sins must be proclaimed to all nations beginning at Jerusalem." And why? Because he is still here in this world, in his word, and in his sacraments. And his love and forgiveness will yield the biggest catch of souls for heaven. No Jesus, no catch. But we have Jesus. So prepare yourselves and call your friends in the other boats and we'll work together to do this. Because we're going to need each other's help because of what God has done. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We come to the time in our service for our prayer of the church. Our response for our prayers this morning is, hear our prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Father of all joy, you have taught us to believe in your righteous acts and deeds of salvation from our youth. Thank you for the blessing of holy baptism that you brought to Danica and Aaron this morning. Bless them and their families, and Robert and Mary and their sponsors. Teach us all to proclaim your gospel to the next generation, that they too may rejoice in you, Lord, in your mercy. Lord God of hosts, sustain those that are called to be fishers of men in Christ's church. Grant that they would not be discouraged when they toil all night and take nothing, but continue to let down their nets at his word, according to that calling. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, give us all faith to let down the nets of your word into our daily lives, into our daily vocations, into our homes, with our families, and trust your Son to do his gracious work through poor sinners like us. We thank you also for the blessings of our brothers and sisters here in our church. Lord God, we are blessed by you as we hold each other up in our faith, and just seeing each other's faces reminds us of the joy we have in you. You've been with us, and you'll be with us, and we thank you. Lord, we do ask that you be with Kevin and Pam Rice as they move to North Carolina. Bless and guard and protect them always. Lord, in your mercy. O God, be not far from us. As you have worked deeds of salvation in Christ Jesus, so make haste to help us now in every trouble. Give healing, O Lord, to the sick, strength to the weak, comfort to the afflicted. Lord, we especially name before you now from the altar Jim Schrader, Dick Greitz, Lisa Strobeck, the Reynolds family, Bob Phillips, Larry Reinberger, Susan St. Cyr, John Johnson, Rob Miller, Rupert Gallegos, Ella Gonzalez, Lori Hauser, Donna Ford, Debbie Ford, Carolyn Geary, Betty Gray, Sandy Santisteven, Betty Patton, Sonny Rumler, Don Hermanson, and all those that we name silently on our hearts at this time. Lord, in your mercy. Send from your altar, O Lord, the very body and blood of our Savior this day. Cleanse us by this blessed sacrament and show us, Lord, that by it he's with us in a very special way to deliver us and atone for our sins in his gracious victory at the cross, that we may be worthy, Lord. We ask to stand before you now and at the last day by grace alone, through faith alone. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, never, oh never depart from us. Though we are unworthy of you and your bounty, you are pleased to receive our meager thanks and our reluctant obedience for the sake of Christ's perfect obedience. Let your word rule us and your spirit revive us to leave behind pride and anxiety, that we may follow you in all that we do. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We now come to the time in our service when our offerings are collected and presented. This morning we'll enjoy an instrumental piece from our organist as we do that.
Thank you for joining our service today at Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa, Colorado. We hope this worship service has been a blessing to you. If you would like to support our ministry, please visit our website by searching Trinity Lutheran Church Alamosa. On our website, click the link for Apple or Android devices to upload our app to your phone or tablet. Our app has many resources to help you. Thank you. And may the Lord bless you this week.
KSPK, Walsenburg, Alamosa, and Trinidad, Southern Colorado's best country music. It's 11 o'clock.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packard. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau is the latest target of Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency, its website offline, operations frozen. Musk